Subscribe, so I don't think so. Yeah, that's deafening. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. This is what you call pissing off your listeners. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. Almost. There we go.
Please deposit 50 cents for 15 minutes.
Where do I put the change? Okay, that's enough of that. We have a very busy night tonight, so let's just get right down to it. Dash, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Okay, the show is Hacker Mind. This is your host, Screamer Chaotix, and on the phone we have Mr. Dash Interrupt.
Yes, that would be me.
Is that you, Dash? Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, what proof do we have?
Nothing other than my good word.
Well, all right, we'll take you at that. Okay, couple things before we do our little special thing tonight, because tonight's episode, you gotta understand, it's gonna be a little different. Dash, would you say it's different?
I'd say it's different.
It is different, because I'm going to be doing a live remote. I'm actually going to be going outside, like I did on the HackerMind All-Nighter, for those of you that have downloaded that.
Yeah, this will be the first time since then you've done this.
Yeah, and the first time on a regular show that I've done this, I'm going to three-way to my cell phone and take a journey down to a payphone. Now, I'm not sure how long it's going to take me to get there, so we want to get right into it, but I do want to say that you should stay tuned after this show for a special after-show that we're going to have on the Live 365 stream, because we We don't know if they want us on Rant Radio after our time is up. And you can hear a special phone free conference from the 1970s, 1971 to be precise, I think.
Yeah, but we aren't going to be hosting it or anything, right?
Well, no, I'll give it a quick introduction and then I'll let people listen to it. So for those of you that are interested by that sort of thing, feel free to tune in. You could hear people like Captain Crunch on the line, and it's very interesting if you're into that type of thing. So join us right after this show for that, and well, let's do it, Dash.
Join us right now in the chat.
Yeah, yeah, that would be irc.box.sk, but...
Well, not join us, but join other people in chat.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's do this properly.
Okay.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yes, a phone track like no other. And, Dash, I'm going to three-way over right now. And, no, I don't want people calling me, so let me try to talk over these tones. What if I remember my own cell phone number? Let's see. Yes, I do. Okay, we got some serious feedback, so I'm just going to get out of here. Dash, it's all you for the next few minutes.
Good Lord, that's some feedback. Okay, you can't talk, right? You going? Okay. All right, we can't talk right now, but...
Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I guess you can't talk. Hey.
Okay. You sound a little low, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, I turned my phone up as high as it'll go.
All right, are you in the chat right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to make sure that everybody can hear me, okay? As I venture out into the real world...
The real world.
Yes, it's a little scary out there.
I'm glad we're having a phone trick. You know, it's been a long time.
Yes, it has. It has. And long overdue for a phone trick.
I'd like...
Okay, I can see my breath. It is freezing cold out here.
Okay, so you're outside, right?
Yes, I am. My jacket is unzipped, which is not wise.
No, it's not. So how far would you say the phone is from you?
I'd say... Well, it's right down a road, so let me say about 5-7 minutes, something like that.
5-7 minutes. All right, yeah, 5-7 minutes. Sounds good.
All right, now, what do we have to talk about... While I'm walking?
Well...
You know, gloves would have been a really good idea.
You want to talk about some news articles, or you want to talk about the question of the week?
Well, what is the question of the week?
The question of last week.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to talk... Well, I don't know. I'll just start with the question of the last week. Yeah, we got some replies, and I gathered them all up. Let's see, there's about 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, that's good. The question of the last week was, if you could make a movie about hackers, what would it be about? Right?
Yeah.
And, okay, we'll just jump into the responses here. First one comes from Silent Rage. It's not really a suggestion for a movie, but it's what he thinks. He says, I'd say The Takedown just about sums up the best of what I consider a hacker movie to be about. Okay, that's great. Another one from Anonymous. Person didn't give us their name. It was on the message board. They say, I would like to see someone make a hacker/porn movie, combining two of my favorite hobbies.
Well, there you go.
I'd like to see the big screen presentation of the little-known fact that all hardcore hackers can get down and dirty with the sexiest of the hardcore porn stars. The female porn stars, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The next one is Shadow 7. He actually sent us a pretty long suggestion, so...
Okay,
that's cool. He says, given the prowess and reputation of Microsoft, Blow is my idea. The premise is known Trojans exist inside the Windows operating system. Terrorists have admitted to placing such Trojans in the operating system. In the world of information technology, this corrupt corporate entity inadvertently or intentionally ignores these Trojans. The storyline is terrorists have disabled 98% of all network information in the United States. Are you getting close to the phone?
I'm getting there. Just gotta get around this car.
The country is in chaos.
Turn down the music, jackass! Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. The country is in chaos. Communications of all sorts have failed as a direct or indirect result of the terrorist activity. Hackers have managed to find a way around the Trojans to keep their network up and running. They have, however, been unsuccessful in fixing the rest of the nation's crisis. Hackers managed to find a way to use the Trojans to disable the terrorist network, thus allowing the other networks to recover while a more permanent fix is accomplished. As a result of this breach of national security, all employees at Microsoft are placed into the prison system at Leavenworth, and the CEO of Microsoft is publicly executed as a terrorist. Well, you know.
So Bill Gates gets shot, huh?
Yeah, publicly executed. Even this is not enough to satisfy the country, the 50% of the businesses we were unable to recover from the incident. And the general population revolts because they had nothing better to do since their cable television was unavailable. Hackers are electing the highest government positions, and that's pretty cool, due to their efforts to save the nation. Legislation is passed to ban all Microsoft products based on their annoying and unproductive attributes. Well,
here, here.
That could be a movie. I'd watch it, probably.
You know, I gotta say that if we had a winner, I would have to give it to that
one. They'd give them to him? Well, we still have one more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who can top that, though?
Well, this one, you know what, this sounds pretty good. It's from Dell Tech. If I could make a hacker movie, it would probably be about five of the world's untouchable hackers get together to try and stop alien life form hackers from another planet or solar system from taking over Earth's satellite systems. It sounds corny, but imagine if there were some other life forms 10 times smarter than us and were so good that they can hack into other people's planets, solar systems, galaxies, and take over world networks and able to chain link communication devices from planet to planet.
Okay, I'm here.
That sounds pretty good. But, yeah, that's all the ones we got.
Okay, I am at the payphone.
Okay, well, now, that timed out pretty good.
Now, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to dial 970 to see if I can get the phone number of the phone. Let's see what this does.
970. Dialing 970 on a payphone down the street from Screamer's house.
Okay, it says error 13.
Error 13.
You know this has got to be a co-con because any other normal phone would let you dial that.
Right, yeah.
All right, but all is not lost. Let me dial an ANI number. So I'll dial 1-800 and then a bunch of fours.
1-800-444-4444.
All right, let's see what this gets us.
Okay. That belongs to MCI, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You also get the ANI by dialing 1-800-444-3333.
Okay, I got MCI. Okay.
Get the number.
I would put the phone up to my cell, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to hear it.
Well, go ahead and try it. I'll see if it works.
All right.
Our system indicates you are calling from 2-0-3-3-7-7-3-2-5-8. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1.
Were you able to hear that?
Yeah, I could hear it.
Okay, so you got that number?
Yeah, I got it right. I already had it, but you know.
Okay, well, you just killed the effect, Dash. Now, go ahead and try calling it.
Okay. You want me to three-way or what?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
Unless, do you have your cell phone?
Not right.
All right, then just three-way.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, now we are about to call a CoCot, so let's see what we get when we do that. Let's see if it rings. I hope Dash remembers to come back to us. Not sure if you folks can hear that. Hello.
I'm here.
You see, that's the weird thing about CoCots. Yes. What is that noise?
That's the modem.
Now, I'm not sure if people could hear it, but,
Did you hear the modem?
Yeah, I heard the modem, but I'm not sure if people could have heard the actual phone ring. It's not a regular ring. It actually sounds like a beeping sound on the phone, which is very unusual, considering that most payphones do have what I would consider a realistic ring. And
I didn't hear it. Well, I was dialing the other number, but.
Well, I picked up on the I picked up the coke out as soon as you called, hoping that maybe if I get it in the first ring, I would be able to talk to you. But no, I got total silence, and well, you heard the modem. Now, Dash.
Now,
calling a modem.
Yes.
Calling a modem. Now, why? You want to tell people about this? How we found it? How we learned about it? Blah blah blah.
Well, how we got it that one night.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, you walked down to the payphone, and you know, one of us suggested finding the number. You know, calling an A&I number.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that.
So we basically did what we just did now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, with a COCOD, you can call it up and you'll get what you just heard, a modem, but sometimes there are different ones, and we're going to show you that as soon as I get back. I'm going to be able to call up some other ones.
And you can. I've dialed up COCODs in, using Hyperterminal in Windows, and that never works out.
Yeah, you got them dialed up in 300 baud, because that's what most of them are. Although there are some that actually go at 14.4, which is extremely fast for a payphone, or COCOD in this case. So, but if you're going to try it at 300, and you're probably just going to get some really weird characters on the screen.
Yeah, that's what I got. So
yeah,
back
not
now.
Much to do.
You heading back?
Yeah, I'm heading back right now.
Oh, okay.
Halfway there.
It didn't take very long to get there.
No, well, I could have gone along, but, you know, why bother?
If someone could find out the location of that payphone and
Get up here right now?
Probably not right now, but, you know, if someone wanted to track you down, they could.
Okay, well, we've called some payphones,
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you see any police cars driving around?
No.
Damn.
Okay.
What? No reason.
What am I doing? Am I blue boxing the coke out here?
No.
Okay.
But all right, that would be cool if they just pulled you over.
Pulled me over for what?
For walking down the road. It's happened before. It's happened here before. So.
Live on the air, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be pretty cool, live on the air.
Okay, now getting back to our topic here.
Yeah.
Calling up COCODs. Now, you're going to hear some different modem sounds when you call them up. Some, like the ones you just heard, will beep for a little while and then kind of fade out and just chirp at you. Others, like the one I called in the very beginning of the show, will give you this steady tone. Now, well, what's the difference, you might be asking yourself? What can you do with different kinds? Well, that's what we're about to show you. And the one that you heard in the very beginning, you might have been a little bit surprised when it actually asked me for money.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, where can I put the money, and why is this dumb phone asking me for it? Well, the thing with that is when you dial into it, it actually thinks you're at it. So it asks you for money, just like you would if you were actually picking up the receiver or making a call from it.
Yeah.
Now,
if you were really stupid, you'd try the red box.
Oh, yeah. Well, COCODs are notorious for not accepting red box phones, but
red boxing from home. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's not give people ideas. Okay, I am back at HackerMind headquarters now.
Okay, you're back. That's good. That's good.
It's a nice quick walk. Okay, I'm going to have to, I'm just going to disconnect from this line so that we don't hear that horrible feedback when I get back actual studio.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go silent and, Dash, carry the show, okay?
All right, I'll just talk about some stuff.
All right, well, you do that. I'll be right back.
Okay. You know what? I think I might actually three-way to my own COCOD sometime because when me and Screamer found out about that, you can't hear me right now, can you? I don't think he can. But when me and Screamer found out about that COCOD near his house, we went around our own cities trying to find more COCODs, and I found one. But maybe we'll call it up later. It sounds like.
Okay, what are you talking about now, Dash?
I was talking about the COCOD I found.
Oh man, it is freezing out there. Whoa. Okay. So, I just walked down to a COCOD.
Yes.
And I am back 18 minutes into the show. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
That's not bad. Okay, now, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying?
I was just talking about the COCOD I found and how we went to look for some more.
Oh, you told them about our little cocot hunt.
I told them we just went around our own cities looking for cocot.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, I mean, I think that's the definition of loser right there, but, it's fun to do. Actually, what's kind of weird is that you had found some regular-looking payphones, right?
Yeah, they had phone company names on them and stuff like that.
And yet, when you called them...
I got four of them, and one of them actually is a cocot.
So, a cocot in disguise, huh?
Yeah, cocot in disguise.
See...
Can I do that?
Well... I guess so. I guess if you put a sticker on it, you can do just about anything, but...
I just want to point this out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Cocot, is it customer-owned or first... Is it customer-owned, coin-operated, or is it coin-operated, customer-owned?
You know, that has been a heated debate since the beginning of time.
Really?
Some people say customer-owned, coin-operated telephone. Others say coin-operated, customer-owned telephone.
It's driving me crazy here.
It could be either way. And I think I go back and forth myself. Let's show people some more examples of cocots, and,
Good, we need to, do mine too, try mine, call it up.
Okay, yeah, we'll give yours a call. Now, this first one here, this is a different one, but, it's gonna sound the same, it's gonna sound like it did, like the one in the beginning of the show. Now, who should we call?
I don't know, who should we call?
Alright, let's try something long distance. Let's see how much it costs to call to New York.
Okay.
From this cocot, by the way, is in the Milford Mall here in Connecticut. So this is a long distance call to New York. And again, we apologize for the loud modem tone that you have to listen to, but hopefully I can turn down the volume and talk you through it. Okay, let's give this a call. Hope it's not busy. Okay, here comes... Yeah, that's the ear-splitting tone. I'm going to go ahead and turn that down. And Dash, we can't hear you right now because I have the phone down. I don't dare turn it back up. And yet, he continues to talk. It's so funny. All right. Should be ending pretty soon. Ah! Okay, here we go. A number in New York City.
Please deposit $4.65 for 3 minutes.
$4.65 for 3 minutes.
I think you permanently damaged my ear with that noise, but isn't it the same $4.65 for wherever you call?
Yeah, it's the same all over the country. And now, here's the funny thing. Here's the really funny thing. I tried dialing a number in Germany. Now, I tried this several different ways. I dialed 011, and then the country code, the city code, the number. And then I tried, I just entered the country code, the city code, and then the number without the 011. Now, the first time, with the 011, it wouldn't let me call it at all. And the second time, with just the country code, city, and telephone number, it gave me a recording like you heard there for the same exact amount that it would cost to call a long-distance call in the United States. So, right off the bat, I'm thinking to myself, well, this must be some sort of error. It must be reading the numbers wrong. It must be thinking that the first three digits, instead of being a country code and a city code, are actually just an area code.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think about, well, because...
Maybe that's just how much it takes at one time, and you just have to keep putting money in. If it's like long distance, if it's like Germany, maybe you just have to put money in more often than you do a long distance call. You know, I don't...
Well, when you call Canada, it's about $6.75.
Oh, it says $6.75?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, then I have no idea.
So that's why I'm thinking that it... Maybe this thing just does not let you call overseas.
That might be it, yeah. I don't know.
Because we all know that cocots... You see, cocots are owned by these individual companies. They're not really... they're not really payphones at all. They're not owned by the telco. They're owned by, well, I hate to say it, but usually scuzzy little companies that do anything for a buck. Some of them charge you for 800 numbers, which is illegal, but they still do it. Some of them... Oh, let's see. What if I had some new... sometimes when you dial zero, you'll get, like, mall security.
You'll get mall security if you dial zero.
If you're in a mall, of course, yeah.
And what do they say? Mall security?
Yeah, that's how they answer. And I'll say, I was trying to get AT&T or whatever. And they'll say, no, sir, you can't dial AT&T from this phone.
Why not? Did they give you a reason?
Yeah, because, well, they don't give me a reason, but I know the reason. It's a COCOT, and they don't want me going through their competition.
I see.
Well, if you want to call them competition, it's not like they're long distance, but they want to make sure that they get their money, and that's that. Yeah. Now, let's see, Dash, you had some COCOTs to call?
I had one.
All right, let's hear it.
Went to four different payphones, and I found one. And I was surprised I found it, but let me dial it real quick.
Okay. This is Dash dialing a COCOT. Hopefully we won't have that ear-splitting sound. My God. Ah, yes, with the ear-splitting. Not sure how long this is going to last. See, folks, aren't you glad you tuned in?
Okay, please stop that now, payphone.
Does it eventually stop?
Okay, there we go. Now, if you try to dial a number right now, it ain't going to have it. Just sits there. And eventually, I think it just disconnects you.
You know, there are some COCOTs that you can call, and after that long screeching sound, you actually hear what's around the phone.
Well, I don't hear anything, do you?
No, I don't. Have you tried hitting some digits while that tone was in progress?
Yeah, I've tried it all, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because with some COCOTs, you can either use silver box tones, or some of them used to actually allow you to use regular touch tones, the ones on your telephone's keypad, and you can actually break away from that tone and hear what's around the phone. Now keep in mind, the phone is on hook, it's hung up, so people walking by that phone will have no idea.
I want to find a phone that will do that.
That you can hear them.
That would be cool.
It would be, and of course, you know, they were more prevalent back in the day, but, you know, undoubtedly somebody somewhere still has a piece of crap phone outside, and so if you could find one, you know, let us know, because that would be a really cool thing to have. You know, I would love to have the number to a phone that you can actually monitor.
There's still some payphones around here I need to go check out, because they look like they'd be COCOTs, but, yeah, we need to find one like that.
Okay, and the last type of COCOT that we're going to discuss tonight...
Anybody knows one, go ahead and send us a number.
Yeah, send it to screamer@hackermind.net or dash@hackermind.net. The last kind of COCOT are the ones that tell you how much money they have in them.
Do you have a number for this?
No.
Oh, dang.
No, I have the ones that I told you about, and I have some more, but they're all the type that allow you to try and dial something afterwards.
Yeah.
The final kind actually tells you how much money is in the phone. So when you dial it up, you'll hear the ear-piercing scream of the modem, and then before it hangs up, it'll tell you how much money is inside the phone. Now, obviously, this must be used for test purposes, you know, or not for a test, but so that the company can monitor what's in the phone. But, Dash, let me ask you this. What do you think the modem's for?
I have no idea. You know, I've tried to dial it up before,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. It's a modem. It's there for a reason. I just really don't know what reason.
You would think that it would be used to call up the phone and perhaps program it, perhaps change something around in it, or something to that nature. But from what I can tell, it's there to do nothing except keep you away from the good stuff that comes at the end.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe, you know, you hear this ear-piercing scream, because it's only a 300-baud modem. Maybe they're just trying to keep you away from it. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But, that's... Anything else that we have on COCOTs?
Let me see here. No, I don't think so. I think that's about it. We just need to find some more numbers.
Okay, and, what would be really cool is to actually have, like, a listing of COCOT numbers, preferably all around the country. So if you know of one, and here's the important part, you have to make sure it's a COCOT. Now, how do you do that? Well, for one, the easiest thing, but you know, doesn't always work, is to go up to the phone and look at it. If it looks different than your normal payphones, if it doesn't have the name of a phone company on it, there's a good chance that it's a COCOT. Now, of course, as Dash found out, some do.
Yeah, some look just like your regular old Sprint, MCI, AT&T, Southwestern, Bell, whatever, payphone.
Mm-hmm. And some...
They are indeed a COCOT.
Yeah, and exactly. So the best thing to do is, well, there are a couple of tests. You can try dialing 800 numbers, but if it's a good CoCot, it'll let you dial it. You could try hitting zero, but it's possible that the CoCot is programmed to send you to an operator. So, how do you know for sure? Well, like we say, the best thing to do is just to take a cell phone, call it up, and the best thing to do before that even is to get the CoCot's number by dialing an ANI number, or if you have an ANAC code, which is usually three digits, and up here in Connecticut it's 970. So if you're in Connecticut, dial 970 to get any phone's number. Well, at least
find that out. Where'd you get the number? Where'd you get that number?
Where did I get that? You know, I think I was just dialing digits, and I dialed that for some reason.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah, because what I was doing was I was dialing, like, 411, 511, 211, and I just started dialing, like, three-digit codes, and then I discovered that 970 reads back your number.
I see.
And if you actually, I think if you hit the pound key, either pound or star, it'll read back your number in touch tones.
Okay. Well, as you were saying, the surefire way to know if it's a payphone or a CoCot is to get the payphone's number and then call it up. And if you get a modem, it's a CoCot. And if you don't, it just keeps ringing and, you know, it's not. And if somebody picks up, be sure to, you know, talk to them for a little while.
Yeah, find out where they are and what's up with them, because that's always fun to do. Now, like Dash said, you know, you can make some great friends this way, believe me. You know, you call up a payphone and, you know, you never know who you might bump into. We've called numbers in New York City. We've called numbers in California. I know we called... Remember that one we called on Alcatraz? Remember how they answered?
Not really. What did they say?
The Rock. May I help you?
Oh, yeah, The Rock.
Yeah, they answer with The Rock. Now, the thing is a payphone, so, I mean, you know there's got to be some smart-ass tourist on the island picking up the phone going, The Rock, may I help you?
Yeah, but one time I called one. I know I said this before on the show, probably, but one time I called a payphone. Supposed to be a payphone, but in reality it was somebody's home, and talk to them for a little bit.
Yeah, that's another thing that you got to be on the lookout for. Payphone numbers, when the payphones go away, and payphones are quickly diminishing thanks to cell phones coming around, payphones, well, their numbers die off and get moved on to other places. So if you go to a place like payphonedirectory.org or something else, another site that lists them, you got to be careful because you could get someone's home. And as me and Dash have both found out in the past. Okay, so that pretty much...
The guy was friendly, but, you know...
Well, yeah, but you asked him, is this a payphone, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And he said, no, this is my home. Or maybe he was just fucking with me, you know? I don't know.
Well, I seriously doubt it. Most people aren't that creative right off the bat, you know?
But you never know.
Yeah, okay. Well, that pretty much concludes this week's extended phone track. So let's take this out the right way.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
You gotta love that theme.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, I noticed that we have some new listeners this week. Do you suppose that's because someone mentioned us in the Off the Hook chat?
I don't know, maybe.
That's what I'm guessing, but I don't know. I don't know where all these people suddenly came from. But, well, they're welcome.
Yeah, very welcome.
Okay, let's get into the notebook here. Now, Dash, ironically, Emmanuel said something on this week's episode of Off the Hook that you said a long time before he did.
Oh, really? I did?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He was talking about the, what was it? See, now you made me forget. I was in mid-sentence. Oh, that's right. Media Player 8.
Oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't really that old. It was like last week I mentioned that.
Yeah, well, you said it before he did, and, I mean, true.
Because his show isn't on the air for, like, 2 weeks.
Yes, but we don't have to go saying that, unless he's one of the listeners, in which case... Moving on. Into the notebook we go. Now, let's see what...
I mentioned something about Windows Media Player 8. I don't have the article with me right now because, you know, I talked about it last week, but...
Yeah,
basically logs everything you play in Windows Media Player 8,
mm-hmm.
and, people can use that for whatever they want to.
It sends the information to a Microsoft site, correct?
I believe so.
What I want to know is, where is it sending it, and when does it do this?
I don't know.
Is this like a weekly thing? Does it clean it out every week, every day?
No, but you know what? That raises something that I wanted to say. You know, all these news articles never give you all the information you want. You know, I'm tired of that. I want all the information. I want to know how it does its thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just pisses me off when they don't tell you. I hate when you leave a news article with questions. You know, they're there to inform you on what's happening, and you walk away with questions. How'd they do that?
Well, you know, you gotta understand, the reporter probably wouldn't even know.
Yeah, I know.
He's getting the story, and he probably doesn't know how it works, so he doesn't want to write about it.
Yeah, I just wish they would, you know.
Well,
I know some people do, but more people need to do that.
What would be really nice is if they had a more technical side to it. You know, you can read the regular article, and then, okay, here's some bonus stuff to read about how it all really works.
Yeah, but I don't think any major news organizations are going to do that.
Well, you can link to it. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there who think that, you know, such things as exploits and things of that nature shouldn't be published. They should be told to the company that it involves, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've definitely gotten into that before, but I think we were the first ones to really say that both the general public and the big businesses rely on the same software and the same computer systems. So by giving this information to one particular company, you're not benefiting anyone. You know, by keeping it secret for a certain amount of time until, I don't know. What about if a patch isn't available?
If a patch isn't available?
Yeah, do you think that they should...
They have the information that they need to make a patch and they don't make one?
No. I'm not getting into any conspiracies here. I'm just saying that...
It's not a conspiracy.
No. Well, you know, you're saying that they have the information, but they're not doing it.
Well,
they
have done that. Microsoft has done that.
Well, I'm sure they have, I know they have. But what I'm saying is, let's say that CERT or somebody else gets this advisory about a problem, but there's no patch for it yet. There will be maybe in a week or two. Do you think they should give out the information then, or should they just give it out right away? Give it out right away. Now, does that expose more people, or does that help them?
I would think it probably does both,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure to which it does more, but I think they should release it whenever they get it so everybody can know as soon as possible if they have a problem with their system.
Would you like to make that the question of the week?
Sure, yeah. I needed one. I was trying to think of one.
Do people think that companies like CERT and all those other, BugTrack, you know, places that give out vulnerabilities... Do they have an obligation to wait until the patch is ready, or should they give it out right away? And tell us what you think and why you think that way.
And email it to me, @hackermind.net, or post it on the message board.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with sending it to screamer@hackermind.net.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, but...
I'm glad to receive mail.
Yeah.
Dash, you've been receiving a lot of mail lately, haven't you?
I've been receiving a little bit more than usual, and it's made my week...
Well, that's certainly good. Now,
made my week. What? I like getting emails.
I know you do. Now, do you have any news articles of importance this week that we should update our listeners on?
I have a few.
Okay, let's hear what you got.
You can jump into those if you like, you know.
Oh, I like.
I wanted to mention this one because it kind of deals with our message board, but not too much.
Okay.
PHP flaws pose hacker risk. This comes from theregister.co.uk. Flaws in the popular open source scripting language PHP could allow crackers to execute arbitrary code on a victim's system or crash a web server. Security clearinghouse CERT has warned. Hey, it's CERT. The vulnerabilities arise from the way PHP handles multipart/form data post requests, which give rise to a variety of possible attacks. with varying degrees of difficulty. Test by Stefan Esser, a PHP developer at German security consultancy eMatters, who discovered the bugs, suggests that not only PHP 4, but also older versions of PHP 3 tree are vulnerable. Most of these vulnerabilities are exploitable only on Linux or Solaris, but one relatively trivial attack is only exploitable on x86 boxes, and an arbitrary heap overflow in PHP 3 is relatively easily exploitable on most platforms, including BSD. As a workaround, users running PHP 4.0.3 or above might mitigate their exposure to the security risk by disabling file upload support. I just wanted to mention this because our message board is written in PHP, and I don't think it's really affected by it, but if anybody out there is running a web server written in PHP, then, you know, this concerns you, and you need to fix it, or someone's gonna hack your shit.
So there is a patch available for that? Is there an update or something?
There's a workaround. Running PHP 4.0.3 or above might mitigate their exposure to the security risk by disabling file upload support.
Ah, okay. Okay, so that's pretty much our vulnerability of the week, I suppose.
Yeah, vulnerability of the week.
And how nice that it deals with something that we're using, huh?
Yeah, but not really. It doesn't mention... we don't want to allow upload of anything, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that because I know that our message board has gone through so much in the past.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody who's offered to help us with it, but until it messes up again, we're just going to leave it alone.
Yeah. I mean, why go for the sure solution when we can just hope and pray, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's the way we tend to do things around here. Now, okay, what did I want to do next? Okay, just
scratching
my notebook here. Well, I mean, we may as well just continue on with the news articles for the time being.
Well, you got one? Do you have any?
No, the ones that I had, I sent to you. Let me see if I still have those.
Okay, let me see. I wanted to mention something here, if I could find it.
No, I don't have the ones that I wanted to mention anymore, so you have all the news articles for the week.
Oh, wow, that's great. This one talks about... remember Adrian Lamo?
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah, he's in this one. New York Times internal network hacked by Kevin Poulsen.
Oh, man, Kevin Poulsen hacked it? Oh, jeez.
No, not... Kevin Poulsen didn't hack it. The article is by...
The article hacked it? Oh, that's not good.
No.
All right, continue, Static Boy.
Hey, that's my phone, man. Don't start dissing the phone.
Are you on a portable?
Yes, I am.
Do you realize we may have more listeners than we think?
Well, maybe we do, but why does that have to do with my phone?
Because it's a portable phone. People can easily tune in with a scanner.
Oh, yeah, now I see. Yeah, well, if they want to listen in on this, then I have no problem.
Yeah, well, hey, hackermind.net, all you people that are spying, we love you, though.
Security holes in the New York Times internal network left sensitive databases exposed to hackers.
Ooh.
Including a file containing social security numbers and home phone numbers for contributors to the Times op-ed page, security-focused online has learned. In a two-minute scan performed on a whim, 21-year-old hacker and sometimes security consultant Adrian Lamo discovered no less than 7 misconfigured proxy servers. Is this
new?
It's new, but he seems like a one-trick pony to me.
Yeah, I know. I hate to criticize the guy. I mean, my specialty is phones, so, you know, how dare I criticize someone about computers? But, I mean, come on, do some new material.
Well, he's just pointing out the problems with, you know, proxies.
Yeah, but he gets more attention than we do, for crying out loud.
Adrian Lamo discovered no less than 7 misconfigured proxy servers acting as doorways between the public internet and the Times' private intranet, making the latter accessible to anyone capable of properly configuring their web browser. The very first server I looked at was running on an open proxy, says Lamo. The server practically approached me. I'm sure it did.
Yes.
Once on the newspaper's network, Lamo exploited weaknesses in the Times' password policies to broaden his access, eventually browsing such disparate information as the names and social security numbers of the paper's employees, logs of home delivery customers, stop and start orders, instructions and computer dial-ups for stringers to file stories, lists of contacts used by the Metro and business desks, and the WireWatch keywords particular reporters had selected for monitoring wire services. But measured by sheer star power, the hack is most notable for Llama's access to a database of 3,000 contributors to the Times op-ed page. What is op-ed? Op-ed. Editorial something? I don't know.
Oh, man.
The August soapbox of the cultural elite and politically powerful. Llama notified the Times of the vulnerabilities Tuesday through a reporter and provided them with a list of the open proxies. In a statement, a spokesperson for the paper said that the Times takes security very seriously. Yeah, that's why they have open proxies. We are actively investigating a potential security breach. Of course you are. You always are.
Yeah, good timing, too.
Yeah, wrote Times spokesperson Christine Mohan. Based on the results of this investigation, we will take appropriate steps to ensure the security of our network. Basically goes on to say, talk about Llama and how he's helped different corporations with their problems.
Yeah, you know, I got a real gripe about Adrian Llama.
You don't like Adrian?
I don't. Okay, I don't like Adrian Llama. No, nothing against him personally, mind you, just against what he does. I mean, I know that a lot of people disagree with me because they think that more hackers should be out there helping people, but for crying out loud, this kid is getting so much attention for doing the same stupid things over and over. Okay, great. There are openings out there. There's a ton of openings out there.
No, I don't understand why they're getting so much publicity for showing corporations and businesses their open proxies.
If I showed OSNT, hey, on one of your Windows boxes here, you have Sub 7, and if I went around the world showing people this, would I get as much attention?
Probably not.
It's pretty much the same thing.
I could probably get prosecuted.
Yeah, but this kid, you know, because he gets his name in the paper as being a helpful, dutiful servant to all these big companies, you know, they let him do it.
They let him do it, and he's just doing the thing. I think he just goes to different sites all the time, just looking for open proxies, waiting for his next news article.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe. I don't know the guy.
There's no new news here.
He's helping people, but we don't need to hear about it every time he does. I mean, this was a really long article.
Yeah, well, see, even still, I have such a problem with that because it seems like this kid's getting all the attention because he's being nothing more than these corporation servants, you know? He's not getting paid. He's not getting any appreciation, so that's why it really ekes me that he does this.
You know, there's other people out there, other hackers, that give the corporations information about their problems, and they don't get, you know, written about on Security Focus by Kevin Paulson.
Well, sure they do, but it's usually because they're being prosecuted.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, well, A, why does he get away with it, and B, you know, why does he... I mean, granted, we can help people. It's good when hackers help people, but when you just turn hackers into nothing more than corporate slaves, you know, because these companies are getting free advice from this guy, so maybe that's why they're not arresting him. Maybe that's why they're letting him do it, because they're getting free service out of him. They know, well, if we have a problem, he'll tell us about it, and we don't have to pay him a damn thing.
Yeah.
We just let him get away.
I don't know why they can trust him over somebody else, you know. What makes him so trustworthy?
Because John Markoff said something good about him and not something
Markoff
bad.
Markoff needs to get fired.
Is he still working for the New York Times?
I think so. I don't know. I don't follow his... I'm not writing an A&E biography on the guy.
I think he is. And stop stealing lines from Jay and Silent Bob. Yeah, you didn't think I'd catch that, did you?
Yeah, I thought you would.
Oh, you thought I would, huh?
No.
Okay. Well, I did catch it. Now, moving on, I had one about wireless networks, which is currently in your possession, right?
Oh, yeah, let me find it. You mean you don't have a copy of it?
No, actually, I sent them both to you and deleted them, thinking that I would probably be walking for most of the episode, but...
Oh, no, that didn't take very long, you big wussy.
Well, I went the short way. You know, I was planning on going the long way, but it's, it's freezing out there.
Let's see, I got some real media movies here, yeah. Somebody.
To give people a brief introduction of what this is all about, and as we know, that there are a lot of exposed wireless networks where you can actually walk up beside a building with a laptop that's capable of receiving information from a wireless network, and actually become a part of that network. Now, of course, when you do this...
Haven't we talked about this before?
Yeah, but this is a bit of an update.
Oh.
You become a node on that network, so anyone checking it can see you, but, you know, I suppose you could be sitting outside and, I don't know if they'd go after you. Do you think they would?
I have no idea.
But you can get free internet.
Or pulling people over, maybe they'll start stopping people who are just walking out with the laptop.
Yeah, well, that'd be pretty funny to see, though.
Yeah, what?
Do you have the article?
Researchers crack new wireless security spec. A University of Maryland professor and his graduate student have apparently uncovered serious weaknesses in next-generation Wi-Fi. I like that, Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Wireless fidelity. Security protocol known as 802.1X. In a paper, an initial security analysis of the IEEE 802.1X standard, funded by the National Institute of Standards, Professor William Arbo, and his graduate assistant, Arunesh Mishra, outlined two separate scenarios that nullify the benefits of the new standard and leave Wi-Fi networks wide open to attacks. The use of public access hotspots are particularly vulnerable to session hijacking because these locations do not even deploy the rudimentary WEP, WEP, Wired Equivalent Privacy Protocol. This problem exists whether you use WEP, I like saying that too, WEP, WEP or not, but it is trivial to exploit if not using WEP. WEP. Session hijacking and man-in-the-middle, both attacks basically exploit inherent problems in Wi-Fi as well as exploiting the new 802.1X standard is designed. Here's how session hijacking works. The hacker waits for someone to finish successfully the authentication process. Then you, as the attacker, send a disassociate message, forging it to make it look like it came from the AP access point. The client user thinks they have been kicked off, but the AP thinks the client is still out there. As long as WEP is not involved, you can start using that connection up until the next timeout, which is usually about 60 minutes. Session hijacking can occur because of the so-called race conditions between the 802.1X and 802.11 state machines. Arbaugh uses the analogy of a thief and a store owner racing for the front door at the same time. If the owner gets there first, he locks the thief out. If the thief gets there first, he steals everything. Yeah, I'm sure that's what happens. Because the client and the AP aren't synchronized, loose consistency, the thief can tell the owner / client to go away and the AP still thinks he's there. You want me to go on?
No, that's fine.
Because it's a pretty long article.
This whole wireless network thing, this really interests me. I mean, no longer do you actually have to physically connect yourself to the network in order to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Now it's like you can just jack in from anywhere within the broadcast range, I suppose.
I'd like to do this, but I have a laptop, but I don't have a network card for it.
Well, I have the network card. It's not a wireless network card, though.
You need a wireless network card.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi.
Well, you know, I just got this network card. I'm very happy with it. I got Optimum Online working in Linux. You know how frustrated I got when I couldn't get that.
Yeah, plus, I don't want to walk around with my 20-pound laptop.
It couldn't possibly weigh 20 pounds, Dash.
Man, it's pretty heavy.
Have you
I don't think I can run away from the cops if they wanted to stop me. I'd just have to drop it and go, you know.
With all your sensitive files stored in RAM, right?
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Now,
just power button and I'm off, you know.
Yeah, you know, actually, I wanted to mention this because you had suggested something in our chat room about a red box, specifically.
No, I mentioned
a little deviant red box.
That was in the chat. I thought it was in the show, but that was in the chat.
Yeah. What? Do you want to tell people your idea?
Oh, I thought I mentioned that on the show too.
Well, I don't know if you did.
Anyways.
I don't think you did.
I just thought of this off the top of my head last week or something around there, that you build a red box and you have it connected with some sort of explosive. So if you see the heat around the corner,
the buzz is coming for you.
And you throw it and it blows up. So no evidence, you know?
Yeah, now of course.
I just keep driving by and he just blew up a perfectly good red box, but... You know,
I had said that. Well, first of all, Dash, Would you stop trying to red box? It doesn't work anymore. You know, people always give me crap for that. They keep saying, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Well,
I'm just saying, if you can. Back in the day, you could use it. And you could connect it to some sort of explosive and just don't hit the wrong button when you're red boxing, or you'll pull your damn hand off or something.
Okay, now, what I found really funny about that is that I, like, five minutes later, I was reading an article, the Secrets of the Blue Box article, and I thought nothing of it at first, but then I noticed that Captain Crunch, I think it's Captain Crunch, it might have been someone else in the article, had designed a blue box that would self-detonate should the cops come after him.
That's really interesting.
If that's true, because, you know, Captain Crunch, he can talk your ear off.
Because I never seen that article, I swear to God. I just thought of it out of the top of my head, but I don't know, maybe I think like Captain Crunch, but I hope that's not true.
Dash, I would love to have some diagrams of how to construct an explosive red box.
If nobody understands my being peeved at Captain Crunch, don't worry about it. But
it's because we asked him for an interview, he said yes. And he never returned our questions.
Yeah, he snubbed us. But what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say it would be really cool to have some diagrams of how to make an explosive red box. If you can come up with a way, like, you already got the...
I can draw it.
Yeah, you got the diagnostics, or whatever you call them, diagrams.
Blueprints,
thank you. For how to make a red box. So take those and then show people how to make an explosive one. That'd be really cool.
Well, first you got to get your hands on some C4.
Okay, that's going a bit far. I mean, you will stop the cops, but I don't think you want to do it that way.
Maybe you can get some kind of explosive, two different kinds of explosives, two different kinds of liquid that mixes together and it creates an explosive.
Well, I don't condone violence, but
yeah.
Just a way to burn out the circuits. Now, that would have been really cool if...
One by itself, you got nothing, but mix them together and it blows up.
Man, you are all over the movies tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Three movies so far.
The Motion Picture Association of America loves you.
Yeah. Ripped lines from three movies so far, but...
Three?
If anybody got them all, you know, be sure to tell me.
Okay, I got the Jay and Silent Bob one, the Die Hard one. What was the other one?
You gonna get the third one?
Not that I know of.
Oh, then I can't tell you.
Oh, Dash, you gotta tell me now.
Alright. No, I'm not gonna tell you.
Okay, well, our listeners are gonna be emailing you dying to know what it was.
Okay, it was from the movie Heat.
Heat.
I said if you spot the heat around the corner.
Oh.
Yeah, they say that in Heat. So if anybody picked up that obscure reference, you know I watch too much movies. Too many movies.
Okay, well, that brings us to just about the end of another episode. Now, what I wanted to remind people of was our little after show that we're going to be having.
Hey, we're not through. You've still got like 4 minutes, man.
Yes, I'm going to use those 4 minutes talking about this new after show.
Oh, okay.
This new after show is, I'll give a proper introduction when we start it, but it's going to be a chance...
Yeah, I want to stay on the phone during the introduction.
Okay. It's going to be a chance for people to hear a 1971 Phone Freak conference, and it's going to feature such people as Captain Crunch, Evan Doorbell, he's a really popular phone freak. If you haven't heard of him, go to wideweb.com/phonetrips, and that link can also be found at our Equal Access site. So go to hackermind.net, click on Equal Access, and hey, while you're there, why not subscribe to the Digest for the Modern Phone Freak?
Yeah, Equal Access. We need to pimp that out a little bit.
And to update people on that, because we do have a lot of subscribers now, I assure you that the second issue of Equal Access is due to come out in the beginning of April, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, April.
Yeah, I need it.
It's a quarterly digest dedicated to phone freaks, and we're going to be having our second issue. So if you haven't signed up now, or if you haven't signed up yet, sign up now, because you can still get the first issue and you won't miss anything. Otherwise, you have to buy a back issue, and that's a mess. So you can do that. You can send us a subscription for that, or we're nice. We'll send you one issue for what is it, like $3 or something?
Yeah,
$3.
$3
within the U.S. It's $5 overseas. Sorry to charge more, but overseas sending it's just
you can live so far away.
Madness. Yeah, that's it. Very good, Dash. It's their fault for living over there. Damn you!
It's your fault for the high prices to live overseas.
Yes, that's it, Dash. keep pissing off our listeners. That's what we like to hear around here.
Blame the readers and the listeners. Yeah, that'll get more people to you know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's just about it for the regular episode. So we're going to play a song here. This will be our end theme, of course, and we'll be right back to start up the after show. Dash, are you ready for the after show?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you're not really going to be here. We're just going to do the introduction, and then people can listen.
Yeah, then we're going to go do something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, for Dash Interrupt, this is Screamer Chaotix ending the show the way I always have. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.